Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Stephanie Peterson for Practical Witchery. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today is a great day to talk about stuckness and how to get unstuck. If none of you have ever felt stuck before, let me explain exactly how it feels. You know when you just want something or you think you should want something and you know what to do and you know the things that could help you get it and you just can't seem to make yourself do those things. So you sit there in the same spot and nothing changes, or things seem to regress for you and you know what you should be doing and you just can't seem to do them. That is the feeling of being stuck. And right now I'm going to welcome Oceana on too. Hello, Oceana. We're talking about being stuck and getting unstuck.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good, and I'm excited to be here. This is a really, really juicy topic.
Isn't it juicy? And I think what makes it so juicy is we all feel it, and it's tough. It is a tough one to figure out, you know? That
yeah.
Stuck, it's such a yucky feeling.
I think it's a universal challenge, and that everybody experiences it some way or another. And, you know, some people to a far greater extent. Some people seem to be better at forcing themselves to do something they don't want to do. But boy, when it's a deep-seated thing, it's almost impossible to get yourself to change a habit.
It really is. And this brings up so many different things. And I think the direction I'm going to head at the moment with this question is, what do you feel makes a person stuck? Why do we even get stuck? What makes us stuck? What do you think?
What makes us stuck?
Yeah, I don't know. It could be choosing something that
either.
We really don't want to do. Or
well, I know one thing that keeps us stuck is just our neural pathways. I know that from being, from being a neuro-linguistic practitioner, that we have, I think a lot of it, probably most all of it, can boil down to mindset. And at least it's related, and it's also energetic, spiritually, as far as our energy system and how we're wired. But as far as mindset, we get into a groove of thinking habits and beliefs about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the beliefs that we have are so hidden from ourselves. Like, we don't even know we have a belief.
Yeah.
And
right.
We have to really, really dig for it to uncover the belief, And that's often what a good coach can help somebody do is really figure out what is that underlying belief that keeps you perpetuating this action that, that your conscious part of you really doesn't want to be doing or really wants to be doing, and you just can't make yourself do it. I think we sabotage ourselves if we have a belief that we're not worthy of something or that we can't have it. Or that things will never change, or that it's impossible, or it's too hard. There's so many beliefs we could have around why we can't have something. And if we have one of those beliefs that is carving a circuitry into the brain, it's like trying to climb out of a cavernous abyss, like a rut where you have to literally, climb a cliff to get out of that thought process.
Yeah, it really is. And I think for a lot of us, we might not even realize we are stuck until we've been stuck for maybe years and wake up one day and say, wow, I've been doing this for, oh my God, 2 years now or 5 years. And, I'm really stuck.
Yeah.
It's interesting. That comfort is it's a hard place to get out of.
Exactly.
That
the comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the comfortable, like some people think, well, it's uncomfortable. What do you mean it's comfortable? And it's like, yes, the discomfort is comforting
mm-hmm.
because it's so familiar.
It's known.
And
right, absolutely.
It's a known discomfort. And some people, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's almost like as human beings, if we know what to expect, it's far
yeah.
more comfortable, even if it's really painful, than the unknown.
Yeah, I mean, that keeps people in bad jobs. That keeps people
yeah.
in bad marriages. It keeps people in
yeah.
bad circles of friends. I mean, it's more comfortable to know than to,
yeah.
to not know. That's interesting. So let's talk us. Let's talk practicalities here. So when you realize that you are stuck, is there anything that you do to get yourself unstuck? Because I have things, but I'm curious if you have things.
Well, there's a few things. It depends on how badly I want something. If the desire far outweighs if the discomfort is so bad that that it's just excruciating to keep going in that habitual pattern,
mm-hmm.
that can often be a catalyst for me for change. But however, from what I know about myself from having lived with myself for well over 50 years is that without putting things in place that really support the change proactively, that I don't stick to a change. The only way I can stick to it is if I have a real powerful desire for change, catalyzed
mm-hmm.
by stuff. Often catalyzed by suffering, and
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying that's me, and
and
I'll put things in place. Like if I know that I absolutely am ready to lose weight, I
mm-hmm.
know what I do to sabotage myself, and so I will counteract that with everything that I can possibly do to make that change be fully supported externally.
Right.
So that it's much
right.
harder to fail, right? So, like, it's the same thing you
yes.
do with a two-year-old. If you want them to behave, then you take the things they're not supposed to touch out of the room. You create a good behavior environment, right?
Right.
So I create a good behavior environment. So I put healthy food in the house. I take away the junk food. I write out what I plan to eat that day.
Mm-hmm.
I have friends that I'm accountable to. I have mindset practices I use before I go somewhere where I know there's going to be things that I shouldn't be eating. Like that. And I reward
right.
myself. When it comes to exercise, if I don't do it first thing in the morning, forget it. So I set everything up. Sometimes I've gone to the extreme of wearing my workout clothes to bed. And then
oh,
the
I've
rule
done that.
Is
I've totally done that.
The minute
mm-hmm.
the alarm clock goes off, my foot has to hit the floor, and the first thing I do is get on the machine. Like, I cannot
that's
do
awesome.
Anything until
mm-hmm.
I work out. And that's the only way
mm-hmm.
I've been able to get over that, you know, get into that change, that habit
mm-hmm.
change. Now, the easier way would be to do some neurolinguistic programming where you actually reprogram and reroute the brain circuit. But that takes
okay.
Knowing how to do that, you know. So.
Okay, that sounds fascinating. So what I do is I will start to declutter. So for me, I notice a real connection between what's around me and where and how hard it is for me to move forward. So it's just really easy for me to just start throwing things away. And I should get on my calendar and start paring that down too. And I know I should, and often I do, but that's usually something I resist. But physical decluttering for me is a huge catalyst for propulsion forward. And even decluttering my food, I will usually do a mini detox of some sort when I want to get unstuck, and that works really well for me. And I don't know what the spiritual connection with that is. Well, I do. There is a real spiritual connection between what's around you or what you're putting in you
and your ability to move forward, you know, kind of breaking those chains that bind, you know, untethering yourself from something maybe that you don't want to be tethered to. I will do that before I will even do those things that you mentioned that are so fantastic, that are so smart. Most people think, I don't need to set those things up. I'm a grown up. I don't need those things. And they tough it out and they fail. But I think it's brilliant that you do that, because I see so many people fail once they get going because they refuse to put that stuff into place. They think they can just tough through it. So I think that's absolutely brilliant. Another thing that works really well for me, Oceana, is I'm really careful about who I tell. I want to move forward. I find that people get invested, whether they know they are or not, in you being the person you are at this moment, and or even the person you were last month. And they will do things, whether it's they will start texting you or calling you more often to disrupt you, or, you know, disparaging you or making little comments that make you think about what you're doing in a different way. And you know, the 3 hours you spent ruminating over whether it's the right decision or 3 hours you've wasted. So I'm very careful about who I tell my plans to. And I tend to, now that I'm older, and I don't know if you do this too, Oceana, I used to make these big plans when I was younger, you know, these 3-year plans, and these year plans, and these 5-year plans, and I would just, I'm a Capricorn, I love plans,
yeah,
I'm loved with.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now I give myself a month. I give myself month goals. Even with the New Year's resolution, I learned that I could not give myself a year. I had to make new resolutions each month, or at least each quarter. And that works a lot better for me. And I don't know if it's because it's less intimidating or if it gets me into faster movement, but that works so well for me. It's easier for me to see my progress. Yeah.
My favorite quote lately is, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. And I love the quote because it's so true for me. And I watch whenever I don't plan, it's almost like everything around me sucks up my time and my attention. But when I plan and I have a course of action and I know clearly what I'm doing, I'm much less likely to get distracted or to allow anybody to switch me over to their plan or their agenda, you know? And what I love a quarterly plan. And I did this program once that I've just found has been the best one for me, and it's taking the wheel of the pie of life, you know, the different areas of my life, figuring out which ones are lacking and which ones are fine, and then finding the balance, and also creating a 3-month plan of how I'm going to move forward and in what way. A piece of the yearly resolutions, right?
Yeah.
And then break them down every week. This is what I'm going to do for this week. And then every 3 months, check back and review it and go, okay, how did I do? How far did I get? What do I need to implement now? Like that. Now, that said, I still find it difficult to be consistent through the year by myself. And the most consistent I've ever been is when I've been participating in a mastermind where we're all doing it.
Yeah.
Right. So I find the support of other people to be really crucial in following through.
Right. That's interesting. So, Oceana, you are very, very team-oriented that way. I'm a little less so. And it's interesting that we know ourselves so well, because, you know, you read this marketing material from coaches and things like that, and everyone's got their way, and it's really hard to sometimes, it's also seductive. It's hard to read through that and know if something's going to work for you. And I think it really speaks to you that you've tried it all and you've hit upon, this works for me. Nope, this works for me. I'm doing this. This works for me. And I watch you do that.
Right.
It's very, very good. Yeah.
Well, I think it's just learning yourself and your personality, because we all have different personality types. You know, there are these overarching archetypes in the world, and once you know your tendencies, you know your weaknesses, and you know your strengths, then you can find something that fits, and then work with your personality type as opposed to trying to be something you're not, which is just like swimming against the tide, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I know for me, you know, I like to know that I have company doing things. Like, I hate that feeling of just being alone trying to do a bunch of stuff, you know. I get so much more done around the house when my family's home than when I'm by myself. Because there's an energy of company. There's an energy of company around me. Now, that's different. When I'm working on my business, I can't even have anyone in the house. Like, it drives me nuts. I work from home because I can feel their energy. But if it's something that I don't want to do, you know, like clean, do laundry, or get motivated to, like, you know, work in the garden when I don't feel like it, it's much more fun if other people are doing it with me.
That's interesting. So I would suggest to those listening, if you don't know where you fall, to maybe do some journaling and, you know, around your stuckness, and journal what you think could support you getting unstuck. You know, what do you need to get unstuck? And maybe you might find that you do need the support system.
That's a really good idea. I think one of the ways to approach that could be, like, look back and notice at what times you felt the most productive. Were there people around?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a group? Were you alone? What was the motivation? You know, and when, you know, which programs you succeeded at and which ones you failed at. As far as dieting, like, you know, Weight Watchers was awesome for me because I knew that scale was coming every week.
Interesting.
And it was
okay.
A public scale.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't just me in the bathroom looking and no one would ever know. It was, they were going to see how much I weighed, and I was going to have to own that number. And so there's like a motivation there. There's a motivation. And I almost think it's like a fear factor, you know. And it was like that when I used to take piano lessons when I was little. There was a fear of the teacher being upset every week if I didn't practice.
Oh, God.
And so that motivated me to get it done.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So, yeah.
And the other thing is, like, fear of, you know, weight. Okay, with weight loss, one thing that motivates me is if I know I'm going to the beach in the summer, you know, I might be thinking, what is that bathing suit going to fit? And if it isn't, it's like it's the thought is dreadful. Well, I'm going to have to get a bigger bathing suit or just have all my fat hang out. All right, I'm going to exercise because I want to. I don't want to
look
that
a certain way.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
That's really interesting to know your motivation. And that also brings me back to, you know, we were talking about your style, how you like to be in group and I like to be alone. It would be interesting to ask yourself maybe what the benefit of being stuck is. I mean, we talked about being comfortable, but you could also ask yourself what kinds of things happened in the past that stuck you when you tried something new. Was it that you got shamed, or was it that your kids' schedules are busier than yours and you're expected to keep everyone's up? Or is it a time issue? Is it an emotional issue? What in the past has made you stuck when you tried to break out? So that's something to think about as well. You know, and further, you talked about fear. You know, are you scared of being unstuck? So we talked about that earlier too, but I think that's worth just mentioning again.
Well, there's,
you know,
a big thing that I used to have a coach like 30 years ago who would always say, what is the payoff for that thing that you're stuck in or you're not able to move? What are you getting out of it? What's the payoff? So,
right.
You know, what's the payoff for failing? Well, you don't have to level up. You don't have to stretch out of your comfort zone. You get to just kind of be comfy, you know. And then once you've looked at the payoff, it's like then you can own it and then choose, okay, well, then I choose to shift the goal a little bit. Maybe the goal is not so much to be that uncomfortable. Maybe I like some comfort, and so I'm going to rearrange it so that it suits my needs better, but it also stretches me just not so far out of my comfort zone that I just fail.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I think we set ourselves up to fail. Just like you were saying, you know, a one-year goal or a five-year goal instead of a month goal. You know, sometimes we're just, the expectation is so high and we haven't taken the time to break it down to the daily action and the weekly action and the monthly action. And so in that, we're just biting off way more than we can chew, and we're setting ourselves up for failure instead of setting ourselves, how can we set ourselves up for success? And I love that book, The One Thing. Have you heard of that book?
I have heard of that thing.
Yeah, I forget the author's name, but wow. You know, and I've been thinking about that a lot lately because it just it just feels so comforting, and it makes so much sense to do one thing just consistently, one change, and then suddenly it snowballs, right? I mean, if you were if you're not exercising at all and you were simply to go for a walk every day, just a walk, you're, in a year, your health will have changed dramatically.
Absolutely. Yeah. I always tell clients, if you can only do one thing, have a green drink in the morning. It's just, you know, one, because sometimes people become so overwhelmed. So absolutely. I'm also a big believer in the one thing. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff. So let me ask you, Oceana, is there anything right now in your life that you would like to share? And if you don't, that's cool. Where you feel stuck, and what are you currently doing to get yourself unstuck?
Well, I think I've always got something that's stuck somewhere, because I tend to have an extremely complicated life by choice, because I love, you know, I love the buffet and I want to be doing everything.
Absolutely.
So the place where I'm stuck is having far too much on my plate. And so what I've been doing about it is simplifying. Literally, just forcing myself to go, okay, today, what is mine to do? And then make today doable, because I tend to make it way more than I can handle. So now I'm going, okay, well, what can I physically do that will move me forward in the direction of the things I desire most? Like, what are the top things I desire most? Like, they really, the things that would give me so much joy to want to have or be, and then what things can I physically actually, you know, actually execute that will get me there today, right? And so I'm doing that, you know, every day. I make my, you know, I make my calendar. I have a, I get those date books that don't just have the month with little boxes. They have the month with the boxes, but in between they have a 2 pages per week, and it's broken down into every hour and then quarter of the hour, right? So it really forces me to look at how long does this take me to do, and when I start tracking how long something takes me, it gives me a much more realistic idea of how long it takes to do something, because I tend to think I can do a million things in no time at all. And that's one of my shortcomings, and that's how I sabotage myself. So I actually have been tracking how long did it take me to do that. And then am I on track, or am I being distracted? And what did I actually do during the time I was going to do this, right? So when I start monitoring my time like that, everything changes for me. I become more calm. I start to be more realistic about my expectations of myself, and I stop beating myself up. And I also become more protective of my time. Like, I don't allow myself to be distracted by this person and that person and all their agendas. And then I actually do what I set out to do, and it's a really good feeling, and it's very calming.
That's interesting, because I think a lot of people would think from the get-go, wow, that sounds really stressful. I don't want to look at that. I don't want to know. But once you really commit to not judging yourself about how you're doing your time, it's not as scary to look at, and it could give you a lot of comfort.
Well, the comfort comes from being in control of how I choose to spend my day. And also, it's like, you know, if I see a telecall coming in, that, you know, one of those marketing machines,
yeah.
I'm not going to take the 2 minutes to pick that phone up and then hang it up again. I'll just ignore it.
Right.
Or if somebody asks me, can you do this? I won't try to squeeze it in if I know that I can't. My schedule is already laid out, right? It gives me choice, and I don't expect myself to make, you know, to prepare, eat, and clean up dinner in like 20 minutes because it's impossible. I actually have that time blocked off if I choose to do that. Yeah, it just I found that it makes my finances work better. It makes me feel better about myself. It helps me choose and be the captain of the ship of my own life. You know, it's a feeling of mastery, actually, to be quite honest with you. And I, you know,
that's
and,
nice.
And when I remember to pull myself back into that, you know, it's not like I'm perfect at it, that's for sure, because I'm most often trying to squeeze way too much in too little time and being in a state of high anxiety. I don't like that feeling. And when I notice that's gone on long enough, when I actually notice that I'm doing that, that's when I go back to this calendar and I go, okay, let's just breathe and let's just see what's realistic for a human being. And it helps me set boundaries that create this level of self-care that's so crucial, as you and I both know. Self-care is just probably the most important thing.
It's magic, yeah. Absolutely.
It is magic, right? Yeah.
It's one of the most intentional things ever. I'm right now really would like to get my YouTube channel up and going, and I'm finding that my kids' schedules are really, really conflicting with that. And so I have not perfected it the level you have. I am dialing back, way back. I will admit that they are on screens much more than I would like the last week as I ramp up. But I really am watching how much time I spend on them and how little time I spend on this other thing I say I really want. So I'm going to be doing some work around this as we move forward. So feel free to ask me about this as we move forward because
I will.
Learning. I'm still learning about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's
well,
good.
We all are,
it's all
right?
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it doesn't hurt to, like, just you know, add that, you know, a big part of this is spiritual practice. You know, for me, it's focus. Like, it's actually the planning time. It's the actual stopping, breathing, getting quiet, relaxing, and being intentional. And maybe even, you know, lighting the candle at the altar and writing down, you know, what your intention is for the week or the month and putting it under your candle or, you know, asking the divine for, you know, for that support and the strength and to call in those qualities that are going to support the framework and the platform, the, you know, foundation for what we're doing in our lives. Like, that's so important.
That.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's perfect. And so I encourage all of you listening to do just that. Think about why you're stuck. Do some journaling. Use one of the things that we've spoken about today to get yourself unstuck. Support yourself. Move forward. Reach out. You can find our websites listed below this page. And we would love to hear from you. And it has been so fun, Oceana, speaking with you today about stuck, getting unstuck.
It's been great, Stephanie. Thank you so much. All right. Everybody go out and have a fabulous day.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.